I'm trying to get somewhere that's real and pure and true and eternal. Toby, can you go with your boy? Let's go.
From the Lighthouse Chapel International, Apostle Joel Obuobisa will inspire you with anointed, practical, and down-to-earth Bible-based teachings that will refresh, energize, and motivate you to do your best for God. Join the Apostle now as he ministers the Word of God.
Put your hands together for the Lord, amen. I believe we have a powerful testimony today, amen. Powerful testimony from DJ, amen. Oh, put your hands together as we welcome Sister DJ. Come on.
Hello. Yeah, I just wanted to share about last week or maybe 2 weeks ago. Bishop, at the end of the message, actually, no, this was during Shepherd's meeting, and we watched the night service, I think. And at the end, he was praying for us, and he was prophesying for us, just saying a lot of beautiful things. And one of the things he said was, take out your phones, hold out your phones, and receive money into your account. And at the time, I didn't have my phone because I had, like, always let the kids have my phone. And it was back then, I was like, oh, God, please let it apply to me, too. And so, like, I just holding my hand like this, like an imaginary phone. And then the next day, the very next day, at around 8 p.m., my mom gave me, sent me a text, like, the refund came, and I'm putting it into your account right now. Yeah.
Oh, isn't it powerful? Amen. Miracle money. Amen. I believe we are all receiving money into our accounts. Amen. Hey, I don't know how, I don't know where, but it's coming. Amen. Wow. Oh, are you blessed? Amen.
Oh, victory belongs to him. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Oh, let's put our hands together for the Lord. Amen.
Hallelujah.
The Lord, consider your ways, oh yes, oh. Go up to the mountain and bring the wood to build my house. I will take pleasure, I'll be glorified in it. This is my will. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and what you bind on earth is bound in heaven. So will you build my church? Will you build my house? Will you be like Nehemiah and build a house of God? Say, I will build your church. And I will build your house. I'll be like Nehemiah and build a house of God. I will build your house. Whoa, 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 whoa. To put in a bag of holes. You're searching for much but reap so little. You sow and you sow but you get so very little. Because of my house that lieth waste. But you live in your own house, and my house is not built. This is the time to build my house. Oh, child, I will build my house upon this rock, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and what you bind on earth is bound in heaven. So will you build my church? Will you be like Nehemiah and build a house of God? Hey, I will build your church. I will build your house. I'll be like Nehemiah and build a house of God. I will build your house. Whoa, whoa. build my church? Will you build my house? Will you be like Nehemiah and build a house of God? Say, I will build your church. I will build your house. I'll be like Nehemiah and build a house of God. I will build your house. Whoa, 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 whoa. I will build your house. Building, 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 build a house of God. Yes. Building, 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 build a church of God.
Oh, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you ready? Amen. It is time. Amen. For my favorite preacher. Amen. And your favorite preacher. Amen. Our pastor and our father, Apostle Joel. Oh, put your hands together for the Lord. Amen.
Blessing in the house of the Lord. Give Jesus a clap offering with a shout. Hallelujah. Amen. Let us pray quickly before you sit down. Father, we thank you so much for today. Again, we thank you for the opportunity to hear the word of God. Because your word is a lamp unto our feet. And your word is a light unto our path. Without your word, we're really in darkness. And it is darkness that causes people to stumble. It is darkness that causes us to make mistakes. It is the absence of light that causes us to take the wrong steps. It is the absence of light that causes us to misjudge what is good and what is bad, what is safe and what is dangerous. They all get confused when we have no light. That is why we come to you today and submit ourselves to the light of the Word of God, which is the lamp unto our feet and which is the light for our path. So I pray, Lord, that you would turn on the light this morning and that the light will shine brighter and brighter and brighter in our direction. I pray that you will open our eyes to behold wondrous things out of your law. I pray that things we have never understood will suddenly begin to make sense to us. I pray that the Holy Spirit will shed light on His Word. And I pray for the blessedness of understanding your word. And I pray, oh God, that the word will bring forth fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. Holy Spirit, we're counting on you and help. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Now just high five three people and say, hey, you're in for a blessing today. Hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. There's a song we've been singing the last few days, and I just heard him playing it. I thought I'll teach you a small part of it. Amen.
Amen.
It says, anoint me, Lord, today. Amen.
Amen.
As I go along my way. And then it says, let my life send forth a glow. And let the glory and the oil around me flow. Wow. Is that a good song? How many would like your life to send forth a glow?
Amen.
Hallelujah. For some of us, there's too much darkness surrounding our lives. Your life needs to begin to glow. Hallelujah. Amen. So anoint me, Lord,
today, as I go along my way, let my life send forth a glow.
Let the oil around me,
let the oil around me flow.
Anoint me, Lord.
Anoint me, Lord.
Today,
I pray.
Amen.
Really simple, isn't it? Sing it again.
Anoint me, Lord, today.
Let the oil
as I go along my way.
Let my life send forth
the
glow.
Let my life send forth the glow.
Let the oil around me flow. Sound like something you want to tell the Lord? Anoint me, Lord. Put the words up there. Let me see. Anoint me, Lord, today as I go along my way. Let my life send forth a glow, and let the oil around me flow. Anoint me. What's the next one? Anoint me, Lord, I pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. God's anointing on your life will make a big difference. Hallelujah. God's anointing on your life will do for you what oil does for anything. Oil introduces a certain smoothness. Amen. It makes things slide. Do you understand? Oil eliminates friction. It removes tension and makes difficult things easy. I see the oil of God coming upon your life. Hallelujah. May God pour his oil upon your life. I said, may God pour his oil upon your life in abundance. Hallelujah. And it will make every friction, every tension, every difficult and unnecessarily difficult thing in your life be smoothened out nicely for you. Anything that makes you fearful, anything that scares you and frightens you, God is going to take it out of your life by his anointing and by his spirit. I said by his anointing and by his spirit. By his anointing and by his spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. Well, today I want to continue sharing with you 6 reasons why non-tithers become poor. Hallelujah. I'm sharing with you why non-tithers become poor from this amazing little book. If you don't have a copy, I really want to recommend that you get it, because this book is going to open your eyes to a lot of truths. Truths that have been all around you, but which you are not aware of. Amen. And it will change your life. It will change your finances. Amen. How many could use a change in your finances? Raise your hand. Let me see if you could use some help, some spiritual, some supernatural input into your finances. Something that you cannot explain. Raise up your hand if you are serious. Let me just see. I just want to see. Really? Wow. Then my message is very important. Hallelujah. And I want you to get the book for yourself. Amen. And read it slowly and try to understand it and activate one of the principles that will be the greatest blessing for your life. Amen. Right. So last week we started number one, the non-tithers become poor. Excuse me, okay? Right. Non-tithers become poor because they have nothing to harvest. Hallelujah. They have nothing to harvest because they have sown nothing. Amen. If you keep living a life of sowing nothing, to live a life of reaping nothing. Are you understanding what I'm saying? If you continue living a life of sowing nothing, you see, the reason why people don't give to you is likely because you don't give much to people. No, you just be honest. Don't raise your hand or anything. You just sit where you're sitting quietly. Just think about what I say. And even if you agree with me, don't nod. I don't know. Is there a way of just, you know, maybe. Just blink. Blink to the ceiling. Find a way of agreeing with what I'm saying without me seeing it. Amen. That honestly, if you compare your receiving with your giving, you may find, in fact, you will likely find the two are correlated. That there is some statistical relationship between how much goes away from you and how often something leaves you relative to how something or how often something comes to you. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's just the truth. Sowers are reapers, and non-sowers are non-reapers. That is the truth. The reason why nobody gives you an envelope with a surprise in it is because you don't give anybody an envelope with a surprise in it. Amen. Amen. But that is going to change. Amen. I said that's going to change. Amen. Amen. The light is coming through. Amen. And as the light comes through, darkness will disappear in the name of Jesus. Are you understanding what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I want you to consider tithing as one of the effects or one of the opportunities for sowing. Amen. It is one of the opportunities for sowing, because as you tithe, you are also sowing. And when you sow, the Bible says you will reap. Amen. Yeah. You will reap. Whatever you plant, you see, next door to this place, there's an orange tree that every now and then bears fruit. It's covered with oranges. Do you see? Yeah. It's covered with oranges. But on this compound, there is no such tree. And the reason why no such tree exists here is because no such tree has been planted here. And so the fruit is not. And we stand here and we look at it with jealousy. You know. Yeah. And occasionally you see one or two will fall into this compound from that side. But the blessing really is on that side. Hallelujah. Some of us are living lives where occasionally you get one or two, you know, drops of fruits just falling from other people's lives into our lives. But there is no tree of blessing actually growing up in your own life. And that must be corrected. Hallelujah. That must be corrected. Amen. And when it is corrected, things will be. Hallelujah. You have to believe in the supernatural relationship between how well you're doing financially and, between the supernatural and how well you're doing financially. That the two related. Hallelujah. Right. Then, the next reason is that non-tithers become poor because they do not attract blessing upon their lives. They do not attract blessings upon their lives. Hallelujah. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10, the Bible says, "Bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not pour, open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it." Hallelujah. Amen. This is God's promise. He said, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." Hallelujah. He said he will pour out a blessing as a direct response to your tithing. Amen. He said, "I will open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it." So God's plan is to bless his people. He said, I will bless you if you become a tither. Wow. Amen. Amen. And last week, we were talking about the role of blessing in prosperity, isn't it? That it is the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich. Hallelujah. It is the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich. It is the blessing of God that makes people do well. It is not a job. It is the blessing of the Lord. Hallelujah. That it's not enough to have a job. Some people think if I can just find a job, I will be okay. Do you understand? But you need more than a job. And from there, we went to Job chapter 1. Well, just show us the blessing of the Lord maketh rich. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 22. Just show that verse to us very quickly. Okay. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 22. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. Hallelujah. Read it with me, everybody. One, two, three, go. The blessing
of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it.
Hallelujah. It is the blessing of the Lord that undergirds all riches. Hallelujah. The blessing of the Lord upon a person's life is what makes the person do well, flourish financially, and make the person overcome their financial difficulties. Are you understanding what I'm saying? The blessing of the Lord. Now, last week we were reading from Job chapter 1. Go back to Job chapter 1 and let's read Job chapter 1. Have you found Job chapter 1? Job chapter 1 and verse 6. Job 1 and 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. Right? I told you last week that Satan knows the day when the sons of God gather before the Lord. And he comes, isn't it? So you must try to do better than that. Okay? So tell somebody, look, you must do better than this. Just tell the person, read what's on there. Just ask them, can you read? Can you read? Yes. Can you please read what's on there? Right? Okay. You must beat at least this. Try to do better than this. Amen. So you must do better. You will do better than Satan in the name of Jesus. Yeah. You will do better than Satan. Amen. If Satan doesn't have a problem going to church, going to the gathering of God's people, then you won't have a problem.
Amen.
Say amen.
Amen.
But look at Job chapter 1 right there. He says, the Lord said unto him, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth. So if you think he doesn't know where you live, you're joking. Right? He's been going to and fro, not in one city, but throughout the earth, and from walking up and down in it. Do you see? Yeah, walking up and down in it. Now, maybe I can come back to it later, but verse 8. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, and a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Okay, verse 9. Then Satan said, God said, does Job fear you for not? Now, if I asked you, where have you come from this morning? Where did you come
from?
From home. Where's your home?
Tustin.
Right. Then I ask you, did you see my friend Alberta? Have you considered my friend Alberta? What question should you be asking me? Exactly. But do you notice that when this guy said he's been going up and down throughout the earth, and God asked him, did you consider my servant Job? He didn't ask, who is Job? Do you understand? That means he had been there. He had already been to check the guy out. Do you understand? And then from the way he's talking, it looks like he has done an analysis. Do you understand? Of the individual, his service of the Lord, and what his possible motives could be. And he's judging his motives by looking at the outcome. Do you understand? He's looking at what seems to have come to this person from serving the Lord, and he's assigning those things as the motive for serving the Lord. Are you getting what I'm saying? Of course, anyone can look at your salary, what you're being paid, and ascribe that to or consider that as a motive for doing the job that you do. Do you understand? Yeah. Something that people don't normally like to do. You see the thing? So if you have a job doing something that people ordinarily run away from, they don't like to do it. Do you see? And you're doing it. Somebody would like to ask, well, how much is he paid? Then they tell you, oh, when he does that, he gets about $200 an hour. Oh, well, that should explain it. That should explain it. Do you get it? So Satan is trying to say that, look, people don't like to serve God. But this your servant Job, he goes to church all the time. So I have done my analysis, assessment of the whole situation, and I have come up with the following conclusions. So he says to God, does Job fear God for naught? Not means nothing. All right? Does he fear God for nothing? Then he said, look at this. Has thou not made an hedge about him? Do you see? And about his house? Do you get it? And about all that he has on every side. See, now how does he know such details about someone? Do you get it? How does he know it? You get it? Which means he has checked out his house. You see, this is the reason why when God said, did you consider my servant Job? He didn't ask, who is Job? There's no question about who is Job. Job, I know him through and through. Do you understand? And he says, you have made a hedge. He says, there is a hedge about his house, I tell you. Which house? The place down there in Tustin where he lives. He must know where he lives to know there's a hedge about his house. There's a hedge about his house. There's a hedge around the guy himself.
That's right.
Yeah. The guy himself has a hedge around him. Right. Then there's a hedge around the house. Do you understand? And then he said, and it is also about all that he has. Look, I checked out his car. There was a hedge around it. His family, his children, there was a hedge around them. Even his mother-in-law, that I thought he would have some issue with her at least. Even with mother-in-law, there's a hedge around mother-in-law. I mean, there was a hedge around everybody. All that he has on every side. He said, I checked it on the back side, on the front side. I even climbed the roof. There's a hedge around the person on every side. Then he said, number one. Then he said, number two, thou hast blessed the work of his hand. Look, this is Satan talking about why Job, the possible reasons why Job must be serving the Lord. Do you understand? He said, you have blessed the work of his hands. Now, what I'm trying to draw your attention to here is that what most people settle with is the work of their hands, but not the blessing that must come on the work of your hands. And that's the reason why most people do not prosper from the work that they do. Because for prosperity to hit your life, a blessing must hit your life. Do you understand? It's not enough to have a job. Jobs are not designed to make people rich. No. Jobs are designed to keep people working them. Are you getting what I'm saying? Jobs are designed to keep people working them. They are not designed to make people rich. If your plan is to be rich from the job you are doing, I don't think you have a good plan. You will discover it after doing it long enough that jobs don't make people rich. Look, all of us on this earth are under a sentence. The earth is cursed. Go read Genesis chapter 1. Do you understand? Yeah. A lot of sweat and toil just for a little from the earth. That's the world in which we live. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's the world. So you see, everybody, no matter what work they do, you see, everybody is just, the summary of everybody's life is do a lot of work and just have something little. Do you understand? Yeah. Something most people are comfortable. What is different is what it takes to be comfortable. Most people are just comfortable, but depending on who you are, it takes a bit more for you to declare yourself comfortable. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. So he said, you have blessed the work of his hands and his substance is increased. Do you understand? The blessing has caused his substance to increase in the land. The blessing on the work of his hands. Look, and this is Satan who is talking. See, a long time ago, I was watching an Oprah show. And then her guest was someone who claimed to be a career thief. Yeah, he said his profession is stealing. Yes, that's his job. Okay. And the person had been brought on the show. And I think, yes, he was retired. It used to be his job. If it was his current job, he won't be there. Yeah. So it used to be the job he was doing, right? Breaking into people's homes, they steal valuable things. That's his job, right? And so he had come on the show, and at the time I saw it, you know, the section or the segment I saw, he was discussing what keeps, or the signs. He was saying that, showing people the signs that a home is empty, that there's nobody at home. Yeah, and one of the things he said was garbage cans left outside, you know, long after the garbage truck is gone. It's a sign that there's nobody in the house. Wow. That's right. He said, garbage, can you drive through a neighborhood? They pick the garbage, let's say, on Mondays, and you come by around Monday afternoon, Monday evening, Tuesday morning, the garbage cans are still there. It's a sign that there's nobody in the house. Yeah. Okay. Now, this is the career thief who is explaining what keeps him out. Why would you doubt him? You are not a thief. He is the thief. And he's showing you the signals, what makes him choose your house. Because when people are burgled, they always wonder why their house. When a thief breaks into your car, you wonder why your car. Why not the one before? Do you understand? So the guy was showing the signs. He was showing, I think he showed some other things. And he talked about places where people keep keys keys. He said the common places under the stone, some stone. He says you have to look in front of the house and look at any stone that is prominent. Something that is prominent. That must be the thing. It must be something there. This is the thief. Yeah. So here, this is the master thief. The Bible says he cometh not. He cometh not. Except for to steal, to kill, and destroy. This is his main job. You see him in anybody's life, he's either killing, stealing, or destroying something. That's all. He does not come. He's not interested in your life if there's nothing to steal, to kill, or to destroy. Now, he is the one that has gone to inspect Job's life and has brought his report. And he's saying that the things that are working for this guy, that make him prosper, that make him do well. Because in the earlier part of the chapter, can you take us to Job's wealth? The Bible talks about the things he has. He says there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. And then, right, his substance was also 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she asses, and a very great household. So that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. Now, he's talking as though all the diseases that affect sheep, you know, for your sheep to multiply and your camels to multiply, it means they've beaten all the odds that actually reduce those things. Do you see what I'm saying? It means sickness has not taken them out. It means thieves have not been able to steal them. You know, it means every time the animals have gone out, they found their way back home. Somehow, they've not been lost. If you're losing at the rate at which you're gaining, then you will not have anything. But when your substance is able to increase, it means the increase has been able to overcome the losses. The plus is more than the minuses, which is the basic definition of wealth. That what comes in is more than what goes out. Pastor Munene told me something one day. He said, Pastor Munene, do you remember? He said, if your outgo is greater than your income, then your upkeep will be your downfall. Do you remember that? Yeah. He said, if your outgo is greater than your income, then your upkeep will be your downfall. That's the definition of poverty. It's just to have much more going out or much more having to go out than what is willing to come in. So when you see his substance has increased, it means whatever went out for what reason could not match what came in. Do you understand? And we are reading this. This is the summary of his wealth. He has all of this. No, back to verse 3. Yes. He says he has 500 she asses and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. Then in verse 6, we are introduced to the one who takes away things. Do you see? The one who steals, who kills, and who destroys. And he's explaining to us how come this man has been able to beat all his strategies. How come he's not been able to steal from him, kill any of his things, or destroy his things? He said, number one, there is a hedge, isn't it? The hedge means that intruders cannot get in. You get it? Then number two is that the substance has multiplied. Of course, if the eaters cannot come and eat it, then it just has to multiply. This is the reason why when God says, do this and I'll open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, you need to do yourself that favor and do it. Not my phone. Amen. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. You need to do yourself that favor and do it. Because the thief himself is explaining to us, you know, why he couldn't make Job poor. Yeah. And he couldn't make him poor because of the hedge. And he couldn't make him poor. You know, one of the things we'll get to maybe today is you'll see that one of the reasons why non-tithers become poor is because the devourer is not rebuked. Yeah. Yeah, the devourer is not rebuked. And here is the devourer who has come to explain to us. He says that I could not get in. There is a hedge on every side. There's protection on every side. You can't get into this man's finances. You can't get into his life. You can't get in. And because of that, his substance has increased in the land. Now, verse 11. So he's saying that, put forth now thy hand and touch all that he has, and he will cast thee to thy face. Then verse 12. And the Lord said, behold, all that he has is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thy hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord after church. He went blessed. God has given him opportunity. God says you can touch it. That means God is going to remove the hedge or something. Now, you read on from this point and you see how this same person, you know, without the blessing of the increase of substance, because now God says you can touch. He says all that he has is in thy power. Do you understand that? He says all that he has is in thy power. Maybe you should ask yourself how much of what you have is in Satan, or is within his sphere of control, or at least he has access to it. You have it, it's yours. But the thing is that it's in his power. That means it's accessible by him. Without a certain blessing on your life, all that you have is, you have it, but it's in his power. It's within his means. It's within his reach. He can touch it. You have it, but he can touch it. You have a marriage, but he can touch it. No, he can make it sour. He can make it sour. You have some money, but he can touch it. Before you know it, you don't know what you did with it. There's nobody in town you can hold for it. You can't. There's no one you can go to and say, you're the one who's made me poor. But somehow you find you don't have the money. You spent it, you have had a lot of money, but you've spent it all. He says, all that you have is in your power. Look at it. Then maybe we should read it. This is a wonderful passage. Verse 13, there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. Right? Yeah. They were just partying. There came a messenger to Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them. Then the Sabians fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and only I am escaped to tell thee. Right? While he was yet speaking, he's not even finished processing the first calamity. There came another also and said, the fire of God is falling from heaven and has burned the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Right? Next one. While he was yet speaking, right, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels. There were 3,000 camels. Yeah. And have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped to tell thee. Right? Verse, while he was yet speaking, there came another also and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. Right? And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead, and I only am escaped to tell thee. Wow. This is after God said, all that he has is in thy power. So, you know, sometimes people have a question. If God is alive, or if God is God, how can so much evil, or how can so many bad things happen to people? Do you understand? Yeah. Well, it's not enough that God gave something to you. Do you understand? But anyone can have anything. Anyone can have anything. But what keeps you having it is the security that you have from God. Do you understand? That is what keeps you having that same thing. You take that away and you soon see that it doesn't really matter how much you had. It comes to nothing. It suddenly comes to nothing. There's only one thing that has happened. You know, if people were near Job, they'll say, look, I tell you, just such bad luck. But it's not bad luck. It is God's blessing that has been removed. It is something, the hedge that Satan was talking about, that's the thing that has been removed. And God said, now, from now on, all that he has is within your power. So Satan is showing us, really, if I have my way, you get it, yeah. If Satan has his way, a man who has 3,000 camels will lose all. Yeah. The guy has 7,000 sheep. I mean, 7,000 sheep. If you tried counting to 7,000, you will not. We'll close the service and leave you here still counting.
Wow.
7,000 sheep. And yet something can happen. Just one thing can happen and everything is gone.
Wow.
Have you not noticed how sometimes you can try, you're trying to save money for something and the savings, you know, it's growing. Even you can see that it's struggling to grow like a malnourished child. You are adding to it, but it's not growing at all. You're adding to the savings, but it just increases small. You add, then small. You add, then small. Then when something comes, it just drops. The thing that couldn't move up seems to move so easily down. Who knows what I'm talking about? Who has experienced such sudden financial devastation? You're saving some money just to try to, you know, put your tuition in good shape. And you're just trying, you know. Then you're driving your car. You're coming to a stop. You've seen the light. You're planning to stop, you know. Then you don't know what happened. Before you know it, you run into somebody's car.
That's it.
Person has a bill for you. Say $2,000. This is exactly what you have saved. It's as though someone showed him your bank account. Do you know what I'm talking about? Are you people real? Are you living real lives? Yeah. This is what happens in real life. Just as something was coming, you see... There's an Uber driver or Uber something waiting to take what is coming. The thing has not even arrived yet, but its departure is already arranged. You see, so sometimes you can see you're expecting money, but it doesn't even make you glad because you know what is going to take it away. It's already waiting. There's a waiting something. That's going to do. If this thing is to arrive, it's going to go straight this way.
Check in, check out. In and out.
It's going out as fast as it came in. That's why sometimes you don't even let it arrive to deceive you. You just redirect it midstream. As it's coming, you tell, you know, just go here. Just go. Hallelujah. Are you understanding it? That is why he says that I will pour out a blessing. It is very important to receive a blessing. God has to bless the work of your hands. Get a job by all means and work. But look for God's blessing on the work of your hands. God's blessing has to come and add to the work of your hands. Because the work of your hands only will not take you where Job went. You understand? Yeah. There's so many demons just visiting your life every day, looking for opportunities to steal from you. And you need the blessing of God to overcome those things. Say amen. Right? The other reason, number three, is non-tithers become poor because they are cursed. Yes. Back to that same Malachi chapter 3 and verse 9. It says, "Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee?" Then he says, "In tithes and offerings." Can you see? In tithes and offerings. Verse 9, "So ye are cursed with a curse. For ye have robbed me, even this whole nation." Amen. He says, "Ye are cursed with a curse. For ye have robbed me, even this whole nation." Well, so curses come upon people who do not tithe. That's what the scripture is saying. Ye are cursed with a curse. And there are enough curses in the world. You see, the curse, today, curse means something else. The word curse means something else. Isn't it?
Yeah.
But that's not what he's talking about here. A new word has replaced the word curse. And one of the new words for this situation is the word unlucky. Unlucky. Do you understand? Yeah. Otherwise, what is luck? What is luck? What is its origin? Where does it come from? What controls it? What makes it set in? And what makes it stop? When does it stop? Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. So a lot of people, you see people laboring under a curse. Because curses have a cause. According to the Bible, if a curse doesn't have a cause, it will not come. And sometimes from families, associations with people, we connect ourselves to curses. And we connect ourselves to the ill fortunes of people. And before we know it, we have signed up for something that we should not be connecting ourselves to. Are you getting it? And then you see some people, a series of bad things keep happening to them. Just one bad thing after the other, one bad thing after the other, and you just wonder, what is going on with this person? Do you see? You just wonder, what is it? What is it? But the Bible explains that there are such things as curses. Do you understand? And one of the things that neutralizes them is the blessing that comes from God when you tithe.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Are you understanding what I'm saying? Well, the blessing that comes from God, look, it's all together. He says, "Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation." Then he says in the next verse, he says, "Bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." That means it will overflow. Hallelujah. He says, "I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes." You see, "I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field." Hallelujah. So one of the reasons why non-tithers become poor is because devourers constantly eat their wealth. Do you see? And so what God says he will do is that he will rebuke the devourer, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. That's how come Job's things were able to increase. Because there were only additions.
Yeah.
And the subtraction was not there because the one who subtracts has been stopped. I see the subtractor being stopped in your life in the name of Jesus. May God stop the subtractor in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. The thing that keeps removing always. And look at it. He says, even when you see, one of the things he does is he destroys the fruit of your ground. It's like something has come, but it's destroyed. Sometimes through waste, through unnecessary enticements and temptations. You come to a place, you feel pressure to buy something. Hey. Pressure. You buy the thing and get home and you realize you don't need it. Pressure. You see, about 20 years plus ago, I remember when I first came into this country, I went to a shop. It was Macy's, actually. I saw the ad. Macy's one-day sale. One-day sale. I didn't know there were many Macy's one-day sales. I thought there was only one Macy's one-day sale. Now or never. So I went to Macy's and I saw the suit. In fact, there were two of them. So one-day sale. It has to be today. I bought it. Actually bought both of them. You know, $400 and something. I didn't have a lot of money, but I bought because it was one day sale. Okay. And when I went to the thing and I saw the label and I saw the price, I think the suit was like, you know, some of these very expensive, $650, $700 and something. And the thing had been reduced to $400. I said, man, this is the day that the Lord has made. I have to buy it today. Today. And it's only today. Only today. You know, and that pressure. That pressure. No, you must buy it. No, you must take it. You must. And it's today. Can you not read one day sale? It's today. 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 Yeah. Yeah. And the whole price was canceled. This is how people become poor. This is how people become poor. One day sales. Yeah. Make you buy. You need it. You know. Then I wore the thing. And I was in the mirror like that. You know. And they have a full length mirror in the shop. You know. Yeah. And there was one on the other side. So as I was looking at this, I could see how I looked. And I'll look here and I'll see the other one. You know. I said, man, this guy must go home. And this is it. Today. 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 This is one day sale. Destroying your fruits. After you have worked so hard and even come home with something, the fruits are being destroyed through waste. God is delivering us from these things in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So non-tithers become poor because their fruits are destroyed before they get a chance to harvest them. The fruits of their field are constantly destroyed. You know, you don't have to write anything. Just get one of these and you have it. I'm just reading stuff from this to you. Amen. Hallelujah. And that is the reason why non-tithers become poor. So number one is that they do not attract blessings. Number two, because they are cursed. Number three, because... Sorry, they have nothing to harvest. Sorry, oh yes. Number two is because they do not attract blessings. Number three is because they are cursed. Number four, because devourers constantly eat their wealth. Number five, because the fruits of their field are constantly destroyed. And number six is because they lose their fruits before they get a chance to harvest. You know, before the thing becomes anything, it's already lost. Hallelujah. Well, our time is up, and so we can't go on. But next time, we're going to continue. Amen.
Amen.
I want you to get a book. This is a book you need. Every Christian must get this book and really... You see, you need to understand what makes people blessed. You need that understanding. Otherwise, you're going to work hard and hard and hard and hard and hard. Look, there are a lot of people who work very, very hard and still don't have anything. Do you understand? You just become a bitter person. Yeah, because, you know, when you keep working hard and you realize you don't have anything, you develop a complex. You lose even your sweetness. You get it? You get used to frowning all the time. You shout at people unnecessarily. Somebody asks, how are you? It's like, why should you even ask? yeah, why? yeah. So how are you? What's that to you? yeah. Why should you ask you, how are you? You are a frustrated person. You are cursed with a curse. You are frustrated. Your things don't work. And you know yourself that it's not because you have not tried. You have tried. But what you're missing is that it's hard work, but God must bless it.
Amen.
God has to bless the work of your hands. So prosperity is work of your hands plus God's blessing.
Amen.
Then it can increase and become Amen. Something. Amen. Stand to your feet and let's bring the service to a close. You know. Tell your neighbor, when the thief speaks, you must listen. yeah. When the thief is explaining why he can't steal, you must take him seriously. How many think the guy who was talking about the garbage can on Oprah, how many think he must be taken seriously? I think some people have already taken notes, right? Yeah, you have to take him seriously. Yeah, because that's his job. And you know, when Oprah would ask him some question, the way he would even answer, like she asked him a question like, so how many homes did you break? Then he would say something like, well, over the course of my career, about, you know, just the way he would even talk. No, when a thief talks, you have to listen to him. So if the devil says, I couldn't steal from Job because there was a blessing on the work of his hands, he's explaining why he couldn't devour it, why he couldn't destroy the fruits. Do you understand? See, sometimes you have fruits. Sometimes you've been working on a relationship. It's working. Relationship these days is expensive. The upkeep can easily become your downfall. If the outgo is not checked. You see? Yeah. You bought dinners.
Flowers.
Maureen, tell us. What? Dinners. Flowers. I think Daniel. Let's ask Daniel. Daniel, what did you buy? Tell me. What are the things? Yes. Flowers.
Jewelry.
Yeah.
Cakes.
Yeah. Jewelry. Cakes. You bought cakes. Yeah.
Nice gifts routinely.
Nice gifts routinely, not occasionally, not only Valentine's Day, right? But occasionally. Yeah,
occasionally.
Yeah,
to spice up the relationship,
just to spice it up, you see. Yeah, and what else? Look, somebody says Brazilian hair. He's saying what he bought. Brazilian hair. Hey. And then you see, just when you thought the thing was becoming something, you don't know where something comes from. And it comes to destroy. Sometimes you don't even, after a couple of months, when you have calmed down, you just sit down, you just wonder. I mean, You just play the whole incident back and you analyze it. But there was not, this wasn't any issue. You can't understand why it ended the relationship, but it did. Yeah, because it was more than that. Do you understand? Just like if you see someone just working a certain job and the person has a certain car, in your mind you know that this car is not explained by this job. You say, you know, there's a job, yes, but there has to be something more than the job to have this. Yeah, same thing, the reverse, that there was a problem, but there has to be something more than this problem to destroy this relationship. That's the devourer. Whenever you can't explain, when you see that the negative thing that has happened, yes, something has happened, it's true, but it has cost you too much. It shows that what you're experiencing is more than can be explained by what has happened. It means between what happened and what you're experiencing is the devourer's contribution. Do you understand? What the devourer added to whatever happened. That's why its results are so devastating. Sometimes you make a small mistake at work. Small mistake. You made it. Yes, you made a mistake. Sometimes you look around the workplace and you know other people who have made such mistakes and who have even done worse things. But they are letting you go because of this. And you are looking at them, are you letting me go because of this? And they say, yeah, because we need an example. And you're going. You cannot believe that this little thing you did is what has cost you this job. But it's not. There's more to it. It's the little thing you did, the work of your hands, plus the devourer's contribution. Hallelujah. I want you to take these things seriously. God is doing you a favor by bringing light into your life. Do you understand? Yeah, you can choose to obey him or not. But you see, when it comes to money, people become very wise. But you should ask yourself, all your wisdom, with all your wisdom, what is he bringing you? What do you even have? Why don't you believe God for once? Do you understand? Believe God for once. Hallelujah. The devourer destroys things before their fruits come. And the ones that escape that, he destroys the fruits after they come. He's walking around. He says he's checked it on every side. That means any way that I can bring him down, I've tried it. It didn't work. Hallelujah. Bow your heads with me and pray and say, Lord, thank you for revelation. Thank you for giving me some understanding. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for revelation. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for exposing me to these things. Help me, oh God, to become a tither. Think about it. How much is your tithe at all? Just think about it. How much is your tithe? How much money are you talking about? Why would you expose yourself to all these things just to keep a small amount of money that does not even do much to change anything? You need God's blessing upon your life in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. Thank you for the message today, and thank you for blessing us with understanding and with insight, oh God, into the importance of tithing. Thank you for your blessing in Jesus' name. Now, as we close the service, while every eye is closed, I want to give you an opportunity to give your life to Jesus today. Maybe you're here today, perhaps someone invited you, or you know in your heart that you are not born again. When I say born again, maybe you don't even understand it. It's not some Christian jargon. We're just talking about a relationship with God, that you will receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior and invite him to your life. Invite him into your life. Ask him to forgive your sins, that you can become a child of God. That if you were to die today, you will not go to hell, but you will go to heaven. A place that God has reserved for those who are saved by the blood of Jesus. If you're here this morning and you're saying, I want to be included among those whose names are written in the book of life, I want to be sure that when I die, I will go to heaven. That my name is written in the book of life, the Lamb's book of life. My name is there. I want to give you that opportunity today. So if you're here today, or you're watching us on the internet, and you know in your heart you're not saved, I want you to raise up your right hand and I will pray with you. Is there anybody here like that? I want to pray with you. Is there anyone here like that? You want to give your life to Jesus? Or maybe you have given your life to Jesus before, but you know that you are backslidden, you're falling off, you've strayed away, and you are no longer where you used to be with God. Today is an opportunity to put your life back together, to put that relationship back together, that you and the Lord will become friends again. Today is that opportunity. So if you're here like that, raise up your right hand and I'll pray with you. And I'll pray with you. Just keep it up. God bless you. Just keep it up. There's nothing to be ashamed of. Anybody else who wants to give your life to Jesus? Right. Now let's pray together. If your hand is up, just so I can see you, can you just stand up? Stand up just so I can see you. I just want to pray with you. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray together. Everybody say with me. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me.
Thank you for dying for me.
I believe with my heart.
I believe with my heart
that you are Lord.
That you are Lord.
And I confess with my mouth. God raised you from the dead.
God raised you from the dead.
Say, Lord Jesus,
only you can save me.
Only you can save me from my sins.
Only you can save me from my sins.
So I come to you today.
So I come to you.
Let your blood wash me.
Let your blood
cleanse me.
Let your blood
and make me a child of God.
Child.
Say, Lord Jesus, my life belongs to you. I want to live for you.
I want to live my life for you.
So, Lord Jesus, help me. Say,
devil,
you are not my master.
Say,
devil, I refuse to serve you.
I will not serve you.
My life does not belong to you. This life belongs to God. Say, thank you, Jesus, for hearing my prayer.
Amen.
Let me pray for you. Father, I pray for anyone who prayed this prayer with sincerity. The Bible says you look on the hearts of men. I pray, Lord, that you will look into the hearts of everyone who's prayed this prayer in church, on the internet, wherever they are. Lord, and I pray that you will save them. In any heart where you find genuineness and sincerity, may you respond to their prayer with salvation in the name of Jesus. Bless them, Lord, and keep them. I pray that you will send people to water the seed of the word of God in the name of Jesus. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You may be seated. You may be seated. And we want to quickly receive our communion. Oh, I'm sorry. Just keep standing and let's receive our communion. Please stand to your feet again and let's receive our communion. Just take one of these and we're going to pray.
Take, eat, this is my body, which was broken for you. And drink, this is my blood, which was poured out for you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. This cup of blessing that we bless, it's the communion of the blood of Christ. And this bread which we break, it's the communion of the body of Christ. Oh, this is the holy meal that came down from heaven. Yes, it will sustain you, it will heal you, it will give you life. For when I see the blood, pass over you. Ooh. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Ooh.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Does everyone have one? Everyone has one? Okay. Now I want you to take the bread with me. Just open up the communion and take the bread. And say with me, the body of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for the body of Jesus Christ. Thank you for the power in the body of Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord, for your blessing on it. Let it heal everybody that is broken in the name of Jesus. I pray that your brokenness will heal our brokenness in the name of Jesus. As your body was broken, Lord, we pray that our broken bodies will be mended by it in the name of Jesus Christ. Every sickness, every disease we address today, we speak to every work of Satan in our lives today to respond to the power in the blood and the body of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing in Jesus' name. Say the body of Jesus Christ. You may eat the bread. Now take the wine and say with me, the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ. You may drink. Now lift up your hand for a blessing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just begin to thank God. Just lift up both of your hands and thank him and say, Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the cup of blessing. Thank you for the blessing that has entered my life because of what I've heard and because of what I've eaten, because of what I've introduced into my body. Thank you, oh God, for the power that confronts every power of Satan in the name of Jesus. Every work of darkness in your life, we break and we curse it in the name of Jesus Christ. Anything that is going on in your life right now that has the enemy behind it, we curse it in the name of Jesus. Every sickness, every disease, every unfortunate circumstance, every misfortune, anything that people will refer to as bad luck that is going on in your life right now, we speak the word of God to it in the name of Jesus. We command it to bow to the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the power in the blood. Thank you for the power in the blood. Thank you for the power in the blood. Thank you, Jesus. And everybody says amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, Just bow your heads. Let me just pray. You know, McKenna is not well. I just want to pray for her. Father, we agree right now concerning McKenna in the name of Jesus. And we claim that which belongs to her, which is a full and complete health, back in the name of Jesus. We claim back from the enemy what he has sought to steal.
we stop you, devil. You will not steal her health. You will not steal it in the name of Jesus. Back off her life in the name of Jesus. Let the blood of Jesus arise to her help in Jesus' name. Let every mystery be resolved concerning her health in the name of Jesus. Thank you for your blessing in Jesus' name. We send angels right now to her bedside to dispatch strength from above into her body in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.